We are going to turn once again to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. And we shall read from verse 20. Joseph was told by the angel, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And the title today is The Real Message of Christmas. The real message of Christmas is in the name of the child born. The name of the one born on Christmas Day is Jesus. Joseph was told by the angels, and she, that is Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And similarly, the angel told Mary. We get this in Luke chapter 1, verse 30 and 31. He said, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And thou shalt call his name Jesus." For, he then gives the reason why his name should be called Jesus. It gives a reason why the child's name should be called Jesus. So why should this child's name be called Jesus? Because, or for, or since, this child will save his people from their sins. The child is named Jesus after the mission that he is going to fulfill. He will live and act according to his mission. His mission was going to be to save people from their sins. This is the primary purpose why Jesus was born. He was born to save people. He was born to save you and me from our sins. This is the real message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is freedom from sin. Jesus was born to set people free from sins. If you take away this mission of Christ, if you erase or delete this mission, the purpose, the very name of Jesus, if you sidetrack his mission, if you cover up the mission of Jesus, if you substitute any other thing, then you take away Jesus himself. Jesus cannot be Jesus without he saving people from their sins. Today, this Christmas season, 2020, or rather yesterday, I would say, the name and mission of Jesus is erased, and in its place, our nation have a savior called the vaccine. Yesterday, it grieves us all. Yesterday, our Prime Minister substituted Jesus with vaccine. And this is blasphemy. Blasphemy. The Lord Jesus Christ came not necessarily to heal you and me. He need not give us jobs. He need not give you and me a position in society. He need not give you all that you desire in life. I'm not saying that he cannot do all this and more. But I'm saying even if he will not give you all this, he will forgive you of your sins. He cannot remain without forgiving people's sins who come to him for forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is the absolute must for the people of the earth. With forgiveness of sins come peace, joy, love, and all the blessings that Jesus himself has. With forgiveness of sins come heaven and all the inheritance that is in Christ Jesus. With forgiveness of sins comes eternal life of no tears, no fears, no death, but everlasting contentment, fulfillment, and joy. Vaccine cannot promise you this. It cannot give you life eternal. When your sins are forgiven, you become the child of God and you become the citizen of heaven. What eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, will be the reward of those that have been forgiven of their sins. The assurance is put into our hearts that you will have life and life eternal. If Jesus was born to forgive sins, this means people are sinful. People are sinful. That we are all sinners is a common knowledge. We all know that we are sinners. We sin all the time. It began with Adam and Eve, our first parents. They disobeyed God and rebelled against God. With their disobedience and rebellion, mankind came under a curse. This curse brought pain, sorrow, sickness, difficulties, murder, adultery, selfishness, covetousness, poverty, hatred, and ultimately death. There was a change in our brain, dear friends. There was a change when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and turned to receive teachings from the devil. There was a change, and mankind was separated from the holy and righteous God. We often ask, why is there so much pain? Why is there so much sorrow and sickness, evil and death in this world? It is because of this reason. We are cut off from God, and because of our sinful nature, our heart is evil. Because we do not have the mind and life of God, we sin. We lost that mind of God. And we have put on the mind of Satan. Actually, the greatest problem is that all people are under the sentence of eternal death. We call the sentence of eternal death hell. Hell. Hell is an everlasting torment. It is an eternal lockdown with constant fear of being attacked and made miserable. Hell is a place a person continues to live after they die. Life never comes to an end. We have been given the eternal spirit by God, but the place of dwelling differs after we die. First, we live on this earth. Then, when this life on earth is over, we pass from death to life. This life after death is a total misery. It is a continuous misery, an everlasting misery. You live and yet you don't live. You are alive, but actually you are dying. You want to die and yet you cannot die. This is the ultimate end of all sinners, all born on this earth. You remember the prodigal son? He crossed over from his father's domain into his own self-determined lifestyle. He entered into a reckless life. He moved out of his father's hands to live a life of lies, fornication, drunkenness, partying, and gambling. He believed this was freedom. My life, my choice. It's not something new. It's very, very old slogan and belief. My life, my choice. He firmly believed that to live a life without any boundaries would give him true freedom, happiness, and upliftment. He believed that to seek for his own goals, his own way of living, without being sensitive to the needs of others, was a way to fulfill himself. He ended up being reduced to a life of a pig. You remember what the demons asked Jesus to do to them? So many of them, legion. A man was possessed with them. They said to Jesus, "Command us to enter into the herds of pigs." When a human being, when a society, when a nation turns away from God and does not have the life of God in them, they live like pigs. And the only spiritual being that can desire to come and dwell in them are the demons. When you get unhinged from God, when you get unhinged from God, you get hinged by the devil. This is the gospel truth. Then when you die, you get totally hinged by the devil. There is no escape. The Bible calls this the second death. None of us should ever want to be in this place. Some people who hate God say, "I want to go to hell. I'm just longing to be there." Have you ever heard that? I have. They think it's a joke. They think that God will be mocked. The truth is, you're already sentenced to eternal hell. You don't have to show off saying, "I want to go to hell." No, dear friend, we are all condemned. Condemned. Second death awaits all human beings. This is a consequence of sin. This is very important to understand. Very important. If we understand this, we will understand why Jesus came to save us from our sins. He actually came to save us from eternal hell, from eternal destruction, from the second death. The Lord Jesus Christ often told his hearers about this life of eternal death, the second death. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, Jesus made it known, "Then shall he that is God shall also unto them say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Everlasting fire, eternal torment, the second death. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, it is written, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." But it is not only the devil and the false prophet and the demons that will end up in the lake of fire forever, but also those that have his mind and live according to the devil's principles and values. Revelation chapter 19, verse 19 and 20 tell us, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse," that is Jesus. They are making war against Jesus and against his army. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image." You see, so all the rest of them who have been following Satan's ways, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Also it is written in the letter of Jude, there's only one chapter there, so in verse 13 he says, "Sinners are like raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Drink in these words, dear friends, that you remember them. Let me just take one more scripture. Jesus says, Matthew chapter 13, verse 40, "As therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, them which sin, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." This has been the appointed destiny of all sinners. The consequence of sin is eternal life of pain and wailing. Ask a person who had committed a crime, what is his first nagging worry? What's his anxiety? A criminal, after he or she has committed heinous crime, worries about the consequence of his crime. Doesn't worry about that he has killed somebody, or he has robbed a bank, or even a small chocolate, you know? But he worries about the consequence of it. Knowing that he will be now punished, he constantly thinks about the years that will be spent in the prison, for life perhaps. His constant nagging worries, his constant distressing thoughts that hurt him or her most, are the thoughts that for the rest of their lives, they will be cut off from family, loved ones, friends, society, work, and normal life. These thoughts play a devastating effect on criminals. It drains their energy. They live, but they actually live a dead life. They are haunted even in their dreams. I'm sorry to bring this truth to your ears on this day called Christmas. But look what Jesus was named. He was named Jesus. Jesus. Why was he named Jesus? Because he would rescue, save man from their sins. He was named Jesus because he is the Savior. You cannot separate him from his name. He would rescue men, women, boys and girls from everlasting destruction. When a person dies in sin, he dies to live a life of wailing and torment. All men have sinned and are waiting for this second death. Christmas is a time to warn about this second death, to announce that Jesus has come to save us from this second death. Thus, Christmas becomes a day in which comes hope for mankind. Actually, John the Baptist went about telling people that he is baptizing people with water, but he, that is Jesus, would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then he says this in Luke chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is what he says. He, that is Jesus, John the Baptist said, has a fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. He will cleanse his floor and will gather the wheat into his barns. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So the message has been of warning from the beginning, and with the warning comes hope. Dear friends, we have turned the birth of the Savior into mockery. We have made the mission of the Savior from seriousness into fun. And now the very leader of the nation blasphemes the name of Jesus. He calls vaccine the hope of our life. He says vaccine is a star in the sky and is glowing brighter and brighter. Can vaccine guarantee and extend your life till next Christmas? Is it a certificate to extend your life till next Christmas? Otherwise, you'll die? Is there eternal nectar in it? But he says so. Your loved ones and all will live till next Christmas. You'll see them. We don't know what's going to happen today. You can die by an accident or anything for that matter. Tell me, will you bake a cake, prepare a hamper, put buntings and lightings and prepare yourself for dance, drink and to fornicate and gamble and to play music or take vaccine when tomorrow you are going to enter into eternal damnation forever? Friends, gambling, fornication, partying, drunkenness and all manner of sensual things go on during Christmas season. People suddenly get unhinged and let themselves go. But these are the very things that take people to hell. People constantly, even those that call themselves Christians, constantly during Christmas substitute Christ. They substitute Christ with gifts, substitute Christ with money, substitute Christ with sensual pleasure, and now our national leader is substituting Christ with vaccine. China is substituting Christ Jesus with their national leaders. Britain is substituting it with vaccine. These are the things that should cause much concern on Christmas Day. Knowing that Jesus has come to save sinners from eternal damnation, it should make us all to turn to Him for salvation. If vaccine is going to, you know, take care of certain disease, that's good. But it cannot substitute Christ. The tragedy of tragedy is that today, with coronavirus, people are even restricted from going to church and listening to the good news that Jesus has come to save people from their sins. But now it is clear as to why they are doing this. The main reason seems to be to substitute Jesus with vaccine. Then, when the time is ripe, they will turn you to the Antichrist. Here is your Savior. Worship Him. Dear friends, Christ Jesus was born to deliver us from hell. Hell is a second death, the eternal death of misery. Hell is a terrible place to be in. Hell is a place where it was prepared for the devil and the demons. Scripture says in Jude verse 6, the angels too, who did not keep to their own domain but deserted their proper dwellings, He has kept in eternal chains, in gloom, for the judgment of the great day. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4, for God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Matthew chapter 8 verse 29, and behold, they cried out saying, what have we to do with thee? That is the devil. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, son, thou son of David? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? But when mankind, our first parents, sinned and became God's enemy, they too came under the eternal damnation, and with them all of us that are born on this earth. And God has since then kept warning all people at all ages. And these warnings were found in the Old Testament to begin with. Deuteronomy chapter 29 verse 20, the Lord will not spare him, that is he that walks against God. But the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man, and all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him, and the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. Job chapter 21 verse 30, the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Ever since men put on the mind of the devil, he booked his one-way ticket to be thrown in the lake of fire. You don't need any other certificate. No COVID certificate. You don't need any other certificate. You cannot. It cannot save you. Dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ did not come just to save us from our minor faults. He came to save us from a very dangerous situation. That is eternal misery, eternal death. An example would be like this. Let us say you are in a big boat, ship, sailing in the vast ocean. In the boat, you find yourself surrounded with all kind of entertainment, pleasures, best of food, clothing and drinks and so on. But in the vast ocean in which you are sailing upon is infested with all manner of wild and dangerous monster fish. They are all in different size and shape. There are the creepy ones, and some look very beautiful, but they are just waiting to lay their teeth on you. And once you fall in it, that is the end of all your entertainment, pleasure, and sinful living. It's a life of misery. And such is a place you go to after you are dead in sin, without being forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a place you will end up, dear friends. The Bible calls this the second death. I'm repeating so that it will really, really stick into our minds during this year, and that we know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. First you die, and then although you are dead in the world, you continue to live in hell. This death never ends. The suffering, the pain, the sorrow and misery never ends. It is for eternity. Jesus took birth on this earth to save people from their sins. He came to cleanse us from our sins. He came to reconcile us to our Creator. We were created to live forever. But this would be only if we remained sinless. Our first parents failed to remain sinless. Satan tempted them, and they willingly agreed to believe and act according to what Satan told them. Satan made our first parents God's enemies. They had a choice. They had a choice, but they chose Satan. And so do you and I. Now Jesus was born to save us and once again make us God's friend. That's the purpose. He was born. He took birth so that he could make peace between God and us. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall live forever. Look, God loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus the Savior. And what did Jesus do? He took our punishment of hell upon him. God placed his wrath against sin upon his only Son, Jesus Christ. God the Father placed our second death, our eternal death, our hell upon Jesus. He suffered the indescribable suffering and died. However, sin, death, and grave could not hold Jesus and make his body corrupt. Jesus rose from the grave. He defeated sin, which defeated mankind. He destroyed death, which destroyed mankind. He had victory over the grave, which swallows mankind and turns them into worms and dust. Jesus came to save people from their sins and make them his people. When people are saved from their sins, their minds and their hearts become new. They put on the mind once again of Jesus Christ, which they were originally made. That is Adam and Eve. We now put on the mind of Christ. Those who are saved, they don't live like how they used to live before in sin. They give up adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. They give up deception or deceiving. They give up effeminate way of living. They give up abusing themselves with mankind. They give up adultery. They give up robbing and being covetous. They give up all manner of sins, whoring, and so on. We all fall under some or many of these sins. We all have such sins. One sin is enough, dear friend, to cut us away from God. For God is absolutely holy and righteous. Jesus came to save people from their sins. But do people really give up all these sins and begin to live a life of love and joy and peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith? Do people really begin to live a life of self-control and meekness? Do people really change to become and put on the character of Christ? Or is this just a myth? Well, let me tell you, certainly yes. Yes, this is what happened to the apostles. Not because they were born in some religious families, no. Not because they were baptized, nor did they become new because they belonged to a certain church or a synagogue or a temple or a mosque. It is because Jesus came to save sinners, and salvation is available to all who acknowledge that they are sinners and they repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And from that time on, dear friends, thousands upon thousands of people from all over the earth have been turned away from their old life of sin to the life of Christ Jesus. The Bible says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 9 verse 13, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And again, Jesus says in Luke chapter 19 verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is one purpose why the Son of God became man. He became man to save people from their sins, from eternal death. Your church cannot save you. Your church leaders cannot save you. So many times when you are giving a gospel tract or preaching the gospel or talking to people about that they got to repent of their sins and turn to Christ, they say, "Well, I am an Orthodox. I am a Catholic. I am a Muslim. I am a Hindu. So what? Did you fall straight from heaven?" No, dear friend, you were all born in sin, isn't it? All born in sin. You can't go after you die with a tag, "I'm a Catholic God." Are you going to say that? "Or I'm a Muslim God." No, you can't. Your gurus cannot save you and make you give up sins. Your prophets cannot save you. Your gods and goddesses cannot save you. Mary and the saints cannot save you. You cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. No one can save ourselves. Nothing can save us. The Son of God came to save us from sins. This is the key message. This is the real message of Christmas. You cannot be filled with joy and peace if your sins are not forgiven. True joy and peace can come only when sins are forgiven and you are made peace with God. This is true Christmas. Beware what you do during this Christmas season. Do not blaspheme against the Lord your Savior. By what you do and think, you will know what spirit you possess. This Christmas, think deeply as to what spirit you possess. Do you possess the spirit of Christ or the spirit of the devil? Be aware, when the little season of Satan comes along, he will even take away the remembrance of Jesus from this earth. That is the ultimate aim. and purpose. Satan hates the name of Jesus. Why? Because he came to save people from their sins. Satan will bring in the spirit of Antichrist. He will direct all nations, the leaders of the nations and the leaders of religion, to cast out Jesus from their heart and enthrone the spirit of Antichrist in their hearts, which is the spirit of the devil. The change has come. The spirit of Antichrist is already here, but you still have hope in Christ. Grab this opportunity. The time is now. Today, remember what the angel told Joseph. Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Think about the life that you will spend for eternity into hell. The life that you will live in hell is a life of death and destruction. The Son of God took birth into this world to save you from that eternal death, which is called the second death. Come to Jesus. Come to the Savior. Come now. Be safe. Keep your distance from sins, dear friend. Take Jesus into your spiritual veins. Vaccine will not give you eternal life. You and I will still die and continue to live a dying life. Suddenly, if you are thinking, suddenly, vaccine has become a mark of a religion. A mark of a religion. It is like wearing a badge or a badge of righteousness on your arm. Look, they proudly display on their selfies for all to see. Look, I belong to COVID. What about you? What about you? Friends, seek for the mark of Jesus in your heart, in your soul. It is the only guarantee that even if you die, you live forever in peace, joy, and happiness. It is only forgiveness of your sins that can give you life. Life of joy, peace, love, and eternal happiness. And this only Jesus can provide. Shall we pray?